This is the one-stop FPL podcast. Hello and welcome back to another episode of One Stop FPL with me, your host, Andy Johnson. On today's episode, we'll be taking a brief look back at Game Week 23 before turning our attentions to Game Week 24. We'll be discussing some potential transfers in and out to help set your teams up for this game week and beyond. We'll also be discussing captaincy and any differentials for Game Week 24, and how we can navigate our way through the upcoming double and blank game weeks on the horizon. So, let's get into it. Right then, game week 23 is all done and dusted. Everton 2, Spurs 2. Goals from Everton from Jared Branthwaite and Harrison, and Calvert-Lewin picking up an assist. A brace for Richarlison, continuing his hot streak in front of goal for Spurs. Assists from James Maddison and Destiny Udogi. Brighton 4, Crystal Palace 1. Goals for Brighton came from Buonanotte, Dunk, João Pedro and Hinchelwood. Assists 2 for Pascal Gross. Lamptey and Welbeck also picking up assist points. Mateta getting the consolation goal for Crystal Palace from an Anderson assist. Burnley 2, Fulham 2. Two goals for Burnley's Fofana on loan from Chelsea. Odegaard and Asignon with assists. Fulham's goals coming from Muniz and Palinha, and Andreas Pereira and Robinson picking up assists. Newcastle 4, Luton 4. Two goals from Longstaff, a goal from Trippier and a goal from Harvey Barnes back in the Newcastle side, giving Newcastle their four goals. Assists for Bruno Guimaraes, Anthony Gordon, Trippier and Lewis Miley. The goals for Luton coming from Adebayo, who continues his good run of form at the moment. Morris, Osho and Barkley also on the score sheet. Assists went to Doughty, Morris, Ogbene and Barkley. Sheffield United 0, Aston Villa 5. And five different goal scorers for Villa: Alex Moreno, Bailey, McGinn, Tielemans and Watkins all on the score sheet. Watkins earning himself a hat-trick of assists as well. Incredible game week for him. Douglas Luiz also picking up an assist. Bournemouth 1, Nottingham Forest 1. Clivert with the goal for the hosts, Sinisterra with the assist, and Forrest equalising through Callum Hudson-Odoi. Chelsea 2, Wolves 4. Two goals for Chelsea coming from Thiago Silva and Cole Palmer, Caicedo and Mudryk with assists, but it wasn't enough. A hat-trick from Matheus Cunha and an own goal from Di Zazzi, giving Wolves their four goals. Ike Nouri, João Gomes and Pedro Neto picking up the assists. Manchester United 3, West Ham 0. Two goals for Garnacho and one for Rasmus Højlund. Assists went to Fernandes, Casemiro and Scott McTominay. Arsenal 3, Liverpool 1. Arsenal's goals coming from Martinelli, Saka and Trossard. Havertz and Kivior picking up assists. Liverpool's goal coming by way of a Gabriel own goal, with Luis Diaz getting the assist points for that one. And last but not least, we had Brentford 1, Manchester City 3. Neil Mopai getting the only goal of the game for the hosts. Flecken with the assist. Not too often we see that from a goalkeeper. And Manchester City's three goals coming from a Phil Foden hat-trick. De Bruyne and Haaland picking up assist points there as well. So that was game week 23. Not a complete disaster for me as well. Personally, I finished up on 68 points. Unfortunately, it wasn't quite enough for a green arrow this game week. I'm just dropping down now to 297k overall rank. Top 100k finish, still within reach. That's what I'm aiming for, so not too much of a disaster. I was particularly disappointed with how my transfer last game week transpired. I obviously sold Pascal Gross and brought in Anthony Gordon. Gross, after a couple of blanks, then went and picked up two assists for an 11-point return, whilst Anthony Gordon, who had some decent fixtures coming up, played just the 45 minutes. He did pick up an assist in that first half, But coming off injured at halftime, and it's now looking unlikely he's going to be available for 24 at the very least. So that's particularly frustrating. That could have been, you know, a Liverpool or a City player that doubles in game week 25. I didn't make that move. Instead, I went for Gordon as someone who would play in blank game week 26. But now that's looking a little less certain. So a little frustrating there. I ended up captaining Cole Palmer. His 8-point return got doubled up to 16 points. Unfortunately, I didn't go with Ollie Watkins. That would have been lovely for a 36-point return from one player. So well done to anyone who captained Watkins in game week 23. Right then, let's turn our attentions to game week 24. And with so much chat about double game weeks and blank game weeks on the horizon, it could be easy for us to take our eyes off the immediate prize, and that is the current game week that we have coming up. So the deadline for game week 24, Saturday the 10th of Feb at 11 a.m. UK time, 90 minutes, as always, before the first fixture. And this week it's Manchester City versus Everton. Then we've got Fulham versus Bournemouth, Liverpool versus Burnley, Luton versus Sheffield United, Spurs at home to Brighton, Wolves hosting Brentford, and Nottingham Forest versus Newcastle. Then on Sunday, it's West Ham versus Arsenal and Aston Villa hosting Manchester United. And then Monday night football sees Crystal Palace against Chelsea. So some good fixtures for us to be considering when making our transfers this game week, especially for Manchester City and Liverpool. Both have pretty kind fixtures at home against Everton and Burnley respectively before they both double in 25. So let's first take a look at Manchester City, and we'll start with Erling Haaland. I was amazed to see just how many people brought Haaland back in to their teams in game week 23 when we didn't have any categorical guarantee that he was going to start. He ended up doing so. Probably wasn't his usual sharp self in front of goal, but he did pick up a nice assist, played about 85 minutes, and we fully expect him now to be a mainstay starting each week for Pep's Manchester City. If you haven't brought him back in yet, like me, that is a priority transfer, I think. The big question is which centre forward you're going to sell to bring him back in. Now, I have a pretty popular front three that excludes Haaland at the moment: Alvarez, Watkins and Solanke. Now, one of those has got to go if I want Haaland back in my side. And there is a temptation with City's fixture at home against Everton before a double in the next game week to actually stick with Alvarez and go for a double up with Alvarez and Haaland up front. And that would mean selling either Watkins or Solanke. And it probably would have been Solanke up until we got news that Bournemouth are going to double in game week 28. So I now don't really want to sell Dominic Solanke. And it sounds crazy off the back of an 18-point return, a goal and three assists for Ollie Watkins from game week 23. But he does have Manchester United this week. Not necessarily the easiest of fixtures. I am really tempted to sell Watkins to get Haaland back into my side. One of the other reasons why I'm tempted to keep Alvarez is that I don't have Foden or De Bruyne, two players that are very, very popular with many FPL managers at the moment. And going into the double game week, I'm probably not going to be able to get both of them. Maybe able to afford Foden, but we'll come on to midfielders in a minute. But doubling up on the attack for City at least gives me another player who is going to double. That is, of course, so long as Alvarez keeps his place in that starting lineup. One of the benefits we'll have to Manchester City playing in the early kickoff this game week is there is a chance we get some early team news, perhaps a leak ahead of the deadline. If we get that and we see that Alvarez is not in the starting lineup, that will then reduce my confidence that he's going to play both in the double game week in 25. So then it becomes less of a priority to have Alvarez in my side alongside Haaland. I'd probably, in that instance, just do a straight swap Alvarez to Haaland. going on to midfielders now, and Manchester City have those two very popular picks, Foden and De Bruyne, who I just mentioned. There is, of course, the opportunity for me to bring one of those in alongside Haaland because I've got two free transfers this game week. However, something that slightly complicates matters for me is that Son is back from the Asian Cup, and he actually is quite a nice differential this game week. Spurs at home to Brighton, a side that really are hot and cold at the moment. If they concede, they sometimes concede a lot, and Son and Richarlison at it could be really, really lethal at home against that Brighton defence. So I'm very, very tempted to actually roll one of my transfers and just bring in Haaland this week and maybe play both Richarlison and Son. There are two main issues with that approach, though. The first is that there is, of course, no guarantee that Son starts. I mean, we saw Ange when Pat Matasar came back from AFCON, a very important player for Spurs this season. He was available but only came off the bench upon his return from AFCON. So perhaps Ange does a similar thing with Son, reintroduces him slowly into the team, perhaps off the bench for the last half an hour this game week. The other issue, of course, is with Gordon injured, he's likely to drop in value. And bringing Haaland back into my side means I'll no longer have that much money to be playing with, and every 0.1 mil will count. So I do expect Gordon to drop in price with that injury. So taking that into account, I think perhaps selling Son might actually end up being the best move here. At least I've still got Richarlison, so I've got good cover for Spurs in this home fixture against Brighton. And in the meantime, I can bring in a player that doesn't blank in 26 and perhaps even doubles in 25. And that will be either a Liverpool midfielder or a City midfielder. At the moment, I've only got Trent Alexander-Arnold in my defence and Haaland or Alvarez, or potentially both of them in attack, doubling in 25. So I'd like to bring in a midfielder who's going to double. And I think the main choices are Foden or De Bruyne from Manchester City, and Jota or Luis Diaz potentially at Liverpool. Now, really, it comes down to price and expected minutes. Foden looks really good value for minutes at the moment. De Bruyne, on the other hand, I wouldn't be at all surprised if his minutes are slightly more managed by Pep, especially as we enter a period of slightly heavier fixture congestion with the Champions League returning as well, and the fact that Alvarez can play in that De Bruyne position and has been doing so in his absence for the first half of the season. Regarding Liverpool midfielders, the two that are really in contention at the moment are Diogo Jota and Luis Diaz. Now, most people will be looking at Jota because his form in recent weeks has been absolutely fantastic. But Diaz does look pretty nailed for minutes at the moment, certainly in the absence of Mo Salah. And it doesn't look like he's an imminent return. I know we're seeing plenty of posts online of him working in the gym or running, but still no concrete sign of him actually involved in any training with the ball. So at the moment, we're not focusing too much on Mo Salah. So for now, minutes look good for Jota and Diaz. Diaz costs 7.4 million, Jota at 8.1. So potentially, depending on what I do with Haaland and who I sell for Haaland, will determine which of those two I can afford. I'm quite tempted by a slight differential on Luis Diaz. I think most people are going Jota. Not too many I'm hearing talking about bringing Luis Diaz in. So he could be a nice point of difference. And with his expected minutes, I think it's fairly likely that he starts in both of those games in the double game week. So I think I might end up going Luis Diaz, and that could afford me the ability to keep Ollie Watkins and perhaps only sell Alvarez straight to Haaland. That will be made a lot easier if we do get that team news that I spoke about earlier. So we'll keep an eye on that. If I want more doublers in 25, I am looking at potentially bringing in both a City and a Liverpool midfielder, as well as bringing in Haaland. That would be a minus four because I've got two free transfers this week. So there is the possibility that I look at perhaps a Foden and a Diaz, as well as bringing in Haaland. Any Liverpool player I bring in, I will almost certainly be selling in game week 26 as Liverpool blank, as I'll be targeting players that don't blank in 26 and hopefully don't blank in 29 either. So the big question that everyone needs to ask themselves when setting their team up when they approach a double is the hit worth it? Do you think spending an extra 4 points on bringing a player in, you'll be repaid for that in the points that they will return in that game week? If you've got a player that is not playing at all, and they then at least start and get to 60 minutes in two games, there's your 4 points back. So then you have to ask yourself, was it worth making the transfer? Ultimately, you want to be confident of attacking returns from that player for it to be worth it. Because you also have to remember, especially if you're bringing in a Liverpool player, for example, the likelihood is you're then going to have to use up another transfer to get them out, potentially even a minus four. So bear that in mind when you're considering taking a hit to attack this double game week in 25. I know that Liverpool and City have great fixtures and it is worth targeting those players, but just be mindful of any points that you spend to get those players in and whether or not it will be worth it in the long run. The way I like looking at it is ultimately, however many players you think you can get to double in game week 25, you want less than that blanking the following game week, especially if you're taking any hits to get those doublers in. So let's say you have four players doubling in game week 25 and you've taken no hits to get there, then I think it would be okay to go into game week 26 only fielding eight or nine players, because ultimately you're up on the number of appearances from your starting 11 over those two game weeks. So that's the way I would look at it. And of course, any minus four that you take, I would consider that an extra player that you probably then want to feature playing in game week 26. So taking my own advice on board, I don't think it would be worth a hit to get an extra Liverpool doubler in because they aren't featuring in 26, but it could potentially be worth paying the extra 4 points to get a Manchester City doubler in 25, as they also feature in 26 as well. So hopefully that makes sense. Moving back into the defence now, and I just want to briefly touch on the fact that there does seem to be an awful lot of premium price defenders being targeted, chiefly for their attacking return potential, because there really aren't a lot of clean sheets going around this season. So it's about time we asked ourselves, are we getting enough bang for our buck? A player who many have been targeting and really singing the praises of is Pedro Porro. But right now, he's pretty underwhelming as an FPL pick. No clean sheet in the last six for Spurs. His biggest haul of the season is actually only an 8-pointer. And I think a lot of the time we look at the underlying stats, or we look at the fact that they're on set piece duty, especially in the absence of James Maddison, and we go, oh, Pedro Porro looks like a really good offensive pick as a defender. But at 5.9 million, he's very expensive, using up quite a lot of funds. And actually, historically, he actually hasn't delivered huge returns. He has picked up a few assists. He's got 8 assists so far this season. But back-to-back one-pointers in game weeks 22 and 23. Spurs blank in 26. They do have some reasonable fixtures coming up. But Tottenham's style of play really does leave them pretty exposed at the back. And they're just not keeping clean sheets. So you have to ask, is it worth the 5.9 to get a potential assist? As I say, the highest return so far has been 8 points in any game week from him. You know, perhaps there is actually some better value to be found elsewhere in defence, particularly around some of those budget picks for teams like Everton, say. There's Jarrod Branthwaite. He's 4.1 million. That would afford you the ability to fit a player like Salah in your team later down the line. Of course, you know, Branthwaite doesn't offer that attacking potential, but you know, if he's just getting you 2 points each week, it's not too dissimilar to what some of these premium priced defenders are delivering at the moment. So perhaps there is a net positive by downgrading your defenders if it affords you the ability to pick up the big point scorers further up the pitch. Another couple of defensive options worth considering are at Aston Villa. Now, after their FA Cup defeat to Chelsea, it's highly likely that Villa will not blank in game week 29. So, if you want to start forward thinking that far in advance, then perhaps you could save a little money and bring in an Aston Villa defender, like perhaps an Alex Moreno, who is keeping Luca Digne out the side, we hope, when Digne is back fit again, with some really impressive performances. He's been a good FPL pick in the past, offers good attacking potential, and is 0.8 million cheaper than Pedro Porro. We could also look at downgrading Trent Alexander-Arnold after that double as well. So I do quite like that move to free up lots of money, which could afford greater flexibility in midfield or up front. The other Aston Villa defenders that are worth considering, you know, Matty Cash, Ezri Konsa, they perhaps offer slightly more secure minutes and less likelihood of rotation than Moreno if Digne is brought back in at left back ahead of Moreno. But I do think that Moreno will keep his place, so I'd probably lean more towards him. The other option worth considering in defence is actually a Luton player, and that's Alfie Doughty. And that is because they also are going to be doubling. They will also double in 28 as well. So a great opportunity to bring in a player that's going to have two doubles in the not too distant future. Alfie Doughty has been a good attacking option in defence for Luton. Of course, clean sheets are unlikely, and Luton have a really tricky double in 25 and they blank in 26. So bear that in mind if you're bringing in a Luton player. It does actually bring me nicely on to goalkeeping options now as well, because if you're in the luxurious position of having your team perfectly set up going into game weeks 24 and 25, then you could look at improving your goalkeeping options over the coming game weeks. Now, Kaminski at Luton wouldn't be at the top of everyone's wish list earlier on in the season. However, if you fancy having a goalkeeper that's going to have a couple of doubles coming up, and the fact that it's a goalkeeper means that you can just bench them in the weeks that they blank and just play your other keeper, it does feel like quite an appealing option. There aren't too many goalkeepers out there offering clean sheets anyway at the moment, so I wouldn't be discouraged by the fact you've got a Luton keeper, they're conceding goals. I mean, one thing a Luton goalkeeper will offer you is the possibility of some extra save points, so that could end up actually being a bit of a bonus. I think if you're making a goalkeeper transfer this week, then you're in a very, very good position. You've got your team well set up for the upcoming game weeks, and Kaminski really does offer a nice differential for those double game weeks. So worth considering if you're in a position to make a change between the sticks. Right then, let's talk captaincy. And whilst there are a number of potential captaincy candidates in game week 24, the standout choice will inevitably be Erling Haaland. Back fit and starting up front for Manchester City, we expect the Norwegian to get the armband in most FPL teams. However, if you don't have him, or you are up for taking a little bit of a punt in game week 24 ahead of the double, then potentially there are some good alternatives. Liverpool's home fixture to Burnley offers some good options for a differential captain. I think the likes of Diogo Jota, Darwin Nunez, Luis Diaz, even Trent Alexander-Arnold, all fine to go for a captaincy punt. I think we'll see a few go for Richarlison to get the armband this week at home against a leaky Brighton defence. Richarlison in fantastic form, 9 goals from his previous 8 Premier League appearances. And my captain from last week, Cole Palmer, Chelsea's penalty taker away at Crystal Palace, a team that are decimated with injuries at the moment. And off the back of a really impressive victory up at Villa Park, I don't see any reason why Chelsea can't turn up at Crystal Palace and put on a really good performance there as well. So lots of options. I do expect that Manchester City's Haaland will get the armband for most. Of course, other options at City include De Bruyne, Foden, even Alvarez. I don't mind if we get news that he's starting, but I think in all likelihood, if you're captaining a Manchester City player, we know who that's likely to be. At the moment, I'll probably be captaining Haaland, as I think that is my priority transfer this game week. Right then, just time to look at my likely team ahead of game week 24. At the moment, I haven't made any transfers at the time of recording, which is Friday afternoon. And I will probably be waiting for some potential team leaks or early team news ahead of the deadline for Manchester City assets. So that will very much determine what transfers I make. At the moment, I've got Dubravka in goal, who's away at Nottingham Forest. That's ahead of Areola, who has a home tie against Arsenal. So I just think that Dubravka has the better chance of a clean sheet there. A back three of Gabriel away at West Ham, Pedro Porro at home to Brighton, and Trent Alexander-Arnold at home to Burnley. And that's because my only other defensive options are Taylor and Lascelles, neither of which playing at the moment. Then in midfield, at the moment, I'm benching Anthony Gordon, who's injured. And I've got Son and Richarlison at home to Brighton, although, of course, we're unsure if Son will get the start. And then Cole Palmer away at Palace and Saka away at West Ham. Now, I could make transfers there, and we'll come on to those in a second. Up front at the moment, I've got Alvarez, Watkins and Solanke. Alvarez at home to Everton, Watkins at home to Manchester United, and Solanke away at Fulham. Now, with Solanke doubling in 28, I don't want to sell him anytime soon. I don't really want to sell Watkins either, but I do like the idea of keeping Alvarez if he starts in that game against Everton, because I do think there's a good chance he'll then play in both of the games in the double. So I might be tempted to sell Watkins then for Haaland. But if Alvarez is on the bench in 24 and I find out ahead of the deadline, then I'll probably do a straight swap Alvarez for Haaland. Now, depending on who I sell for Haaland out of Alvarez and Watkins will obviously dictate how much money I have spare and whether or not I sell Gordon for a Jota or a Foden, or I sell Son for a Jota or a Foden. I do like the idea of selling Son just because he then blanks in 26 as well. Obviously, the appeal of selling Gordon over Son is that Gordon is likely to drop in price in the next couple of days because of that injury. So it will really depend on how much I need that extra 0.1 million, how tight I am in terms of funds, whether or not I go for a Jota or a Diaz for that double game week. But I'm going to try my best to avoid taking hits. I'll be doing Haaland this game week for sure. It'll obviously just depend on which forward I sell. And then almost certainly selling Son. And it'll be for either Foden, Jota or Diaz. I'll go for Foden if I'm doing a straight swap Alvarez to Haaland. So I still have two Manchester City players against Everton and then doubling. And it'll be Jota or Diaz if I keep Alvarez and sell Watkins and go with a double Manchester City attack. So yeah, that's the decision that I still have to make. I'll be making those decisions very close to the deadline, hoping I get some early team news for that Manchester City fixture. That's it for this episode. A reminder once again that the deadline for Game Week 24 is Saturday the 10th of February at 11 a.m. UK time. Don't miss it. Thank you very much for listening. My name is Andy Johnson. You can find me on Twitter or X at OneStopFPL and at AndyJAudio. Best of luck to everyone chasing a green arrow this game week, and I'll talk to you again soon.